number two. No one knows how hard I try. Oh, I have feelings I can't explain, driving me insane. All my life been so polite, I'll sleep alone tonight. I'm just kidding.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is
Abe. Hello, how are you, Aaron? Again,
I'm doing well because now we're at the we're waning off of Hollywood's biggest night. we've crossed the threshold, and we're coming back now. We're recovering from the large ceremony that just took place. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is quite a lot to talk about, and let's get right into it.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do here. We're doing our Oscar, our 96th Academy Award Oscars result show. And joining Abe and I right now, we have from Noir Artur. He is Kenuff. It's Terrence Johnson.
Thank you. I feel Kenuff today.
Good. So. Good. Good. Well, how you doing? You're feeling Kenuff? I hear
he's
that.
Kenuff. Yeah.
I'm feeling great. I was like, I don't think I'm going to watch the first half of the Oscars. Let me go get something to eat. And I went to a great Mexican restaurant here in the Valley.
Okay.
Shout out Xochipilli Taco Bar in Van Nuys.
Hope Giamatti goes there.
Goes on in the restaurant. So I was like, this is great.
There you go.
You perfect. Can't escape it. Yeah, I guess nowhere in Los Angeles you can escape it, huh?
It was great to have a drink as three awards in. I was like, oh, I'm not winning my work's Oscar pool.
Well, you're here now, and we're going to talk all about what just took place at the 96th Academy Awards. First things first, let's go over who had the most. Abe, how many did you get right here?
I had 19.
You had 19?
Yeah.
Terrence, how about you?
My ballot burned up mysteriously. I can't tell you what I had. No, I 16.
I had 18.
18. Okay.
So, Abe, you are our winner this year.
Thank you, I guess. I appreciate it very much, but at the same time, there certainly were, I think we talked about in the pre-show, that those award shorts and animated shorts could be the breaker of it. So, but yeah, thanks, for all the love and support, I suppose, to the Academy as well.
I mean, they were the breaker for me. If I made two different choices that I very much could have made, I would have had 20, but I didn't. With hindsight, that's really the only choice I would have made differently. It's the fucking animated short film, because my spite for it was too great for me to make
for the John and Yoko
or to make what's really an obvious decision. Like all the other ones that I got wrong, I don't think they're obvious decisions. I wouldn't have changed anything.
You went with Letters to a Pig?
No, I got.
You did 95 cents.
Oh, 95. I did 95 cents. I didn't choose War is Over because I hate it so much because it's bad. Yeah. It's a bad short.
I should have listened to my heart on that one because I was like, or my head, I guess, because I was like, oh, inspired by the music of John and Yoko in the title. Of course.
Yeah. With their son, Sean, producing. Yeah. but you want to go over some of the recaps or individual thoughts?
Let's go over the winners here first, then we can get into the ceremony itself and all that went with it. I'll just read through the winners. Mm-hmm. But feel free to like boo or make any sounds you want to as I go through these. First up, let's start with the short film. We have, of course, War is Over, inspired by the music of John Yoko. Boo. Short film live action, we have The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, not received by Wes Anderson because he didn't show up. Best documentary short subject went to The Last Repair Shop. Best visual effects went to, that's right, Godzilla Minus One.
Yes.
I was set.
Even though I would have voted for Creator,
mm-hmm.
I'm just thrilled that they picked something cool like Godzilla Minus One.
Did you see he was holding a golden Godzilla and it had a little bow tie on it?
Yeah, did you see that all of the shoes, they had Godzilla claws on their shoes?
Oh, yeah, I haven't had a chance to like delve into Twitter to find like more of these photos, but like I just saw the little Godzilla with the bow tie. It's like, that's great.
Yeah.
Film editing went to Oppenheimer. Production design went to Poor Things. Cinematography went to Oppenheimer. Costume design went to Poor Things.
Boo.
Makeup and hairstyling went to Poor Things. Sound went to The Zone of Interest. A cool win. That's a cool. I didn't even pick it, but that's a good win for that one. Original song went to What Was I Made For from Barbie. Original score went to Oppenheimer. International feature film went to The Zone of Interest. Documentary feature went to 20 Days in Mary Poole. An animated feature went to The Boy and the Heron. Adapted screenplay went to American Fiction. Original screenplay went to Anatomy of a Fall. Actor in the supporting role went to Robert Downey Jr. Actress in the supporting role went to Divine Joy Randolph. Actor in a leading role went to Cillian Murphy. Actress in a leading role went to Emma Stone. Directing went to Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. And Best Picture of the Year, as unenthusiastically presented by Al Pacino, went to Oppenheimer. So there we have it. We have our winners for Hollywood's Biggest Night. Let's go over this show, and we can kind of get through these categories as we go over the show.
Yeah. General.
But let's start with like how this thing started. So late is the answer to that question.
Wait.
For one thing.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah, it started late. Terrence, you informed me there was a protest going on, right? That's what I don't know.
Yeah, there was a protest for Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
That was
causing a lot of happening outside.
at the same. Yeah, causing a lot of sort of. And they said that they had to send, they were getting golf carts to get the talent in. Because I know a lot of people were like, wow, this red carpet is so dead. And I was like, well, if they can't get out the car, like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. So once things did eventually
start late.
It did start late. But once we get date started, we got once again a monologue of Jimmy Kimmel following a montage of the films and then like a brief little Barbie insert.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you guys think? What'd you guys think of Kimmel's opening this year?
I missed most of it being in the car.
Were you in an Uber?
I was driving myself.
Okay, you drive yourself. Okay.
But in my defense, I did not know when the show was going to start because of the protests and because of the fact that it was not on at 4 o'clock.
I mean, it was on like 4:05, 4:10. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't crazy late after.
I caught a little bit of it. The Fableman's joke is pretty funny.
I thought that was funny. Or last year, the audience like took a second. They're like, huh?
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
They didn't catch up with this joke.
I'm saying Jodie Foster is now too old to be Robert De Niro's girlfriend. Was pretty funny. I can't remember the exact joke, but those two were the ones that I heard.
Too young and Taxi Driver, too old now.
Yeah.
Abe, any overall reactions here for the monologue?
I mean, the overall monologue, I think it was fine. It was short as well. It wasn't very long. There were some bits here and there that were zingers, but overall, it was pretty tame. Like, overall, I thought that Kimmel was a fine presenter. Like, he's just okay, but pretty smooth sailing there.
Bored was my reaction. I was just bored by the monologue. I will say the most juicy got was when he was going at Robert Downey Jr. By presenting multiple drug jokes, and to the point where if this was a different scenario, he might have got on stage and slapped Jimmy Kimmel. And I was like, this might happen. but
I think he's learned from the history. Yeah,
for sure. But it seemed apparent to me that he was very much holding it together as far as, you know, we could move on from this joke.
Sure. Yeah. As noted by him mouthing move on.
Knowing how history works, it's like, I don't need to be the other guy that slaps somebody on stage.
Right.
That seemed very apparent. We got 30 minutes into the show and we finally had an award for supporting actress. But what other highlights in this kind of like earlier section of the Oscars?
Can we give like overall impressions?
You want to do that first? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then just Terrence, like overall, like overall mood and whatever else, and then let's go into details.
I thought the vibes of the show were fine. I thought that Warner Brothers, Prime Video, and Wicked, or Universal, I guess, via Wicked, were, because I work in social media marketing, I was like, yeah, all the stars of the upcoming movies in 2024 and Ricky Stenicki are presenting, but that's really smart strategy by the studio. So, kudos to the, giant conglomerates trying to rule everything.
It feels like it'd be smarter if they showed like the movies that they're going to, be starring in. Cause I don't think they really did that.
Well, they're not supposed to,
Disney
did it. Was it last year? And everybody
last year where they went into commercial. Yeah.
Yeah. About Disney 100. I thought the vibes of the show were fine. I thought once it, got moving. It was pretty entertaining. I liked the mix of presenters. And, you know, certain ones were better than others.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the original song presentations were great, and I'm sure we'll talk about one in particular.
Sure.
But yeah, I enjoyed the show for what it was. Like, even though I did terrible on these predictions, what was the biggest shocker? Zone of Interest and Sound?
That or Emma Stone.
Maybe Actress, yeah.
Like, now they are like the second most likely. So it's not like it was out of nowhere, but right. In terms of like,
let us we can talk about Emma Stone later, but yeah. we can point directly to an Out Now with Aaron and Abe podcast that was quoted very recently to know that Emma Stone was not a shock.
Right.
But yeah, I enjoyed the show.
Okay.
Abe,
I know Aaron is going to hate one particular thing.
I think I already got that out of the way.
Which, in his defense, did take a little long, even though I love this.
Oh,
maybe,
okay.
Maybe the men shouldn't get all five past winners coming out. It should just be the women, because theirs felt much more sincere and heartfelt and like really emotional. And like I was texting you, I was like, I want everybody's makeup to be ruined because they're crying about this legend giving them their flowers before they even announce the winner. So yeah, those are my thoughts overall.
We'll talk more about that. But Abe, what'd you think overall?
I think it was a good Oscars. Like I was kind of complaining about, hey, you know, this is like for nerds and it kind of just doesn't have to be all flashy. It really wasn't. And, you know, there weren't a whole bunch of side bits or whatever the case might be. I thought that I could have used more montage for sure and more clips of the actors and actresses for nominations. I actually really dug that they allowed people to speak in their speeches without playing them off. You know, I think that it could have been uncomfortable and difficult for Best Internet or for the Godzilla team, but they let them speak. And I was glad because, you know, how I felt last year about Drive My Car, where they just like played off the director. And I, in general, it was just very like good pacing in overall. And so I dug what they were doing there. It wasn't incredibly like, you know, over the top, you know, big. But at the same time, I think there were some musical numbers that really worked. And I kind of just dug that they were kind of no nonsense about it this year. Even the side jokes that they're writing in between commercials from everybody on Kimmel's team weren't they didn't take up too much time. So yeah, pretty good Oscars, I think, minus like what you were saying about Kimmel kind of maybe being super boring.
No, I agree with you. I do think like once the show found its footing, like about once it got past like the first award, then it started ramping up a bit. And I feel like I don't know how they plan these things, but because the show is already late, like I imagine there's probably like ways to go about like hurrying things or like kind of tightening up the pace on how things are going about happening. So like, It felt like things kind of quickened up after that like first half hour, because yes, I wasn't huge on the monologue, and like with all the presentation and everything, they had to kind of find their way through. So once it did, yeah, no, I agree. I think the show had a good balance of feeling like a classy Oscars while still, you know, incorporating like the more modern touches that one would expect from a 2024 Oscar presentation. I think there's a number of good presenters that did what they needed to do there. We can highlight some later on. I think the song performances, regardless of how I feel about the songs, I think they were solid and unique, each and two of themselves, so that worked in their favor. And it's those actor presentations, no, I'm not huge on. I don't think anyone was like particularly like there's nothing about it that makes it awful. It's just more of if I was to choose, that's not the way I would choose to do these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I just wish we got the clips too. Like I said the other day.
That too. Yeah. I mean, even if it pads it out, I don't know. I don't know what the,
I mean, they finish early. It would have been fine too. Especially if they decided to have the pace.
When they ask me to plan it, then I'll come up with a solution. For now, I'm just like, that's not what I would choose.
I hear you.
That's around that.
Yeah, but I definitely want to also just echo that, Terrence, you're right. The actor one versus the actress one, I like the actress one more too. It seemed like they actually were more thoughtful in their choices. The actor one, I was like, I we'll get to the Killian thing, but it's like, he's a very proud Irish guy, and Ben Kingsley is a British actor. And so it was, you could see it when he was shaking hands. He wanted to just stop shaking hands with Ben Kingsley as soon as possible when he was accepting the award. So it's like one of those things where, like, you know, let's think about these things.
Yeah, I think with supporting actress, they like nailed it, particularly because like everybody up there had some connection with the nominee.
Well, that's the risk you make, though, when it comes to having certain people that are just new to being nominated to begin with, or what have you. There's just less connections going on between some of them. Like, you look at like Sam Rockwell having a ball with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
like
they're buddies,
like that. You know, it works. Like, I hear what you're saying, Terrence, as far as like one side of it being perhaps better than the other. But I do think there are individuals within those that worked quite well in the actors as well. So it's like, I don't think this is like inherently a bad idea as far as how to do presentations. Right. I just feel like they haven't mastered what that is yet. And they've only done it three times total. So, I mean, I get it.
Yeah. They're probably retired for a while.
Yeah.
Well, it depends what Variety writes about it the next day or whatever. We'll find out. Scathing reviews on the Oscars. So.
Or next year they'll do like they did the last time and they will just do Friends. you know, when we get Jeremy Renner and Colin Farrell from SWAT.
We'll get those again.
Kind of just like Kevin joking, hammy.
I think that just meant, well, because the idea is, you know, you got to get an Oscar winner, right? Well, no, because they had like Colin Farrell who didn't win an Oscar just to talk about SWAT. So it's like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
That one was there. Yeah. These were all Oscar winners here. Yeah.
But yeah. Well, that's what it like generally. I think
exactly
the first year they tried to do that. It was like a mix of people, I guess.
Yeah. I agree with you, though, that like, there's certainly probably a way to perfect it, especially like what I just find so refreshing about it is like acknowledging the history of the show and movie history.
Right.
In the same award show where they told you could watch the Governor Awards by looking at a QR code.
Hmm.
So it's like any little morsel of how not, I don't want them to like feel themselves and be like, oh, we're so important, but like the Oscars are important.
Yeah.
So like celebrating like the history of it, I like, but well, I do agree.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Governor Awards, like, you know, that used to be in they'd be in the room before. They'd give the big speech would happen before. Now it's, this year was the Academy president is like in the hallway behind the stage with just the pictures of them on the wall while Grande and Eilish are like walking by. Like, there's no acknowledgement of like
a weird faux pas here.
Here's a huge thing that's going on right now. Right. Like as far as we're doing some kind of acknowledgement, it's like, yeah, it's in the background.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of in the background, I remember what I wanted to say. The other thing that bugged me, this in memoriam segment, guys.
Oof.
Which part bugged you?
I think I had the volume all the way down, so I didn't hear the music. What was the theme?
It was a good song choice.
It was opera. It was the
Time to Say Goodbye from Andrea Bocelli.
Yes,
with his son.
A perfectly fine song choice.
Right.
The production of it was just distracting and badly
The
interpretive dancing and just the camera choices they were making. Like, if you want to show me that they're on the stage doing stuff, okay, fine. I can deal with that. But, like, the way they kept obscuring the names and the pictures, like, this is the memoriam segment. I want to see who's being memorialized here. I want to see what's actually happening. And it like closes off with a board of like 40 names and a list. And it's like, let's cut to a wide shot where no one can read what the fuck's going on.
But so they gave me the QR code, Aaron. So to see more in memoriam. But I thought it was a good song choice. I thought it was more decent than the other, maybe some past ones where it felt like they went longer on it too. Which is always a good thing because there's always a lot of people that are important to this. One thing I also wanted to nitpick before we get into like the deep dive stuff, not a lot of formal men here. Like, what happened to like all the bow ties and full on tuxedos here, guys?
Let's address
open shirts here.
I am tired of the no tie. Put on a tie.
Speak you guys
are
it.
They are grown men.
This
put on
is
a tie.
Also a formal event, gentlemen.
It
you
like,
need to see some of the Rock's tattoos.
If
that
you're
was
doing,
too low of like an open button shirt.
If you're doing Ryan Gosling, Kennergy, relaxed rock star vibe, I'm okay with it. Right, the suit, it's glittery around the edges. Right, it's got other things, but like Mahershala, Mahershala doing up there with no
he
tie?
Was auditioning for Blade still.
Did they call him day of and we're like, we need you to come down here and do this.
Yeah, he's like, guys, I'm busy filming Blade, but I guess I can do you a solid.
They had Mahershala. They had RDJ didn't have a tie on. Michael Keaton had an ascot, which looked great. But yeah, The Rock and then Chris Hemsworth coming out with like no tie on either. Like, guys, come
he's
on.
Got a big
like,
neck.
He does. Yeah, he does have, maybe he can find one. Yeah. So not bad, Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. All right. You want to get into it?
I mean, we've been getting into it.
This is true.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there's not more outrage over the In Memoriam because I'm really upset by it.
The volume was down real low.
Yeah.
It's not about the volume. I'm not at like the song choice. I think it's entirely fine.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't see it.
It's not about the volume though. It's like you can use your eyes and see. I don't like how it was shot. Like it's just why are we focusing on singers now? Like there's stuff happening on stage I can't see. I don't. It's just it was very bothersome.
Sure.
I think I preferred. Was last year where we got like the gospel in the volume?
I think last year it was like a it might have been gospel or it might have been like the quartet that was playing something on the stage. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Or maybe I think what I liked about the gospel, which was like high energy music. And I know people were like, what's going on? I just like the idea of like, obviously like we can celebrate people and we don't need to be like getting in the grave with them because mm-hmm. it's so sad.
Yeah.
You know, we can celebrate life in a joyful In Memoriam can be very sad, but also very joyful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's stick with like the presenters as far as how that goes. What were some highlights for you as far as the presenters that were coming out to do their bits?
There were three high points.
Okay.
I'll probably agree. Let's see.
Arnold and Danny DeVito.
Easily my top.
Yep.
Loved just like the randomness of them being this is what we were talking about, right? It was just like, give me something. I literally would have never thought to bring the two of them.
Yeah, same. And I was like, I guess twins is happening then.
For what? For visual effects. Okay, let's see it.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
And then they start riffing on Batman and it's
Batman,
the best.
Which is a great bit. Yeah.
And they had Keaton ready to go.
It seemed like it was unplanned. Maybe it was planned, but if it was unplanned, it's a great bit.
Yeah, that was great. John Mulaney.
Also, yes.
Talking about the entire history of Field of Dreams, or the entire plot of Field of Dreams, yeah.
Wonderful.
Which, John Mulaney, who I appreciate making fun of movies as somebody who I know has seen movies.
Yes.
Right? And he very well should be, now that the show is over, the Academy, he should be their first call.
I'm curious if they've asked him already and he's like had to say no because he did the Governor Ball. So, I mean, it's not like he's they have his number.
Yeah.
Like he's in their book.
Yeah, so he had a great joke about Angela Bassett being nominated for an Oscar in a Marvel movie.
At the
Governor Awards. Yeah. And then the
Madam Web joke that he dropped in.
It was great.
So was funny.
Killed. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then, John Cena.
Yeah.
Commitment to the bit.
Because at first I was like, I know they're not going to bring this man out here not wearing any clothes. Like, come on. And then he did. And then I was like, okay, this is not a bad view. But because it was costumed, like when he just got up there and he was like, costumes.
Yeah. his line screaming. Delivery of dropping costumes is incredible. So
I was screaming in this restaurant because that was so funny.
It's what you said. They stuck it. They committed to the bit and they stuck that landing. Because I agree. I was like, where are we going, guys? Like, what's this going to be? And it's like, oh, no, they did it. They pulled it off and everything. Yeah. Man, it was elaborate and fun.
And what was fun about that as well is that The Rock was like in the wings waiting. And I was like, John Cena has clearly surpassed The Rock in some of these things too.
I'm telling you, he's a better comedic force.
He's a comedic force, but also again, just like being goofy and wacky can get you pretty far, The Rock.
So, damn. Dave Bautista snatched the drama title and now John Cena got the comedy title. What does The Rock have?
Dave Bautista, Abe and I are huge Stuber fans, so we know the comedy that Dave Bautista is able to bring when necessary. Don't worry.
No, I'm just saying.
I think
like,
The Rock has he's gunning for president of WWE now. So
is he's trying to get an Oscar too, because you don't make an A24 Benny Safdie, Emily Blunt movie, if you don't have big things on your mind.
The Rock is fully capable of exciting me with projects he chooses, and he has with this, with doing a Safdie thing. Okay, cool. Let's see where that goes. Let's For the time being, I'm like, Rock, you got to pull it up here. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know, again, Cena showing you up here.
Rock's the kind of guy where I could get mad at all his choices with Black Adam or what have you, but then he'll like post up like a Make-A-Wish video. I'll be like, damn it, Rock, I can't stay mad at you.
Yeah, he's got a good sense of where he is on that. The other thing I want to kind of just point out, good seeing Messi the dog. We talked about it the last year, where it's like he was not invited, and I guess now he was invited.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a change in that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so good on us for voicing our you know, our wanting Messi there.
We finally got through. That's what exactly what you're saying. I get it. Yeah,
and Aaron sent me the pause.
Yeah, the quick jump of him applauding and them not acknowledging that, just making a good joke. Like that's very the good. Best kind of joke. You didn't need you didn't need someone to be like, look at the dog. Like it just did it. And it was funny.
Exactly. It was just like, what is? Are those paws clapping? And they are. Yeah, good bit by the. By the writing team there.
Any other presenters to shout out? I think that stuck out.
I mean, like definitely DeVito, Schwarzenegger presenting. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to do the actors and actresses one, mostly because there's like an ensemble of them. But I did like that. I mean, Lupita for one speaking was nice. And then obviously, you know, you had the other folks too. But it certainly felt like when you have more personal things to say, like Forrest Whitaker is talking about how he worked with Coleman Domingo, you know, and kind of like, I knew your star was on the rise kind of thing. That's nice. Mm-hmm. But having like, you know, again, not to harp on Ben Kingsley, but just being like, you know, Killian, you're such a good actor and we're all indebted to you. It's like, okay, thank you. Yeah, I guess
Kingsley was going for that Kevin Costner award for most dramatic presentation of a written speech, like he did last year.
yeah.
They couldn't.
I was glad that RDJ called them all out on the act. On
only one line, only one flood line.
Yeah, exactly.
That, yeah. I mean, Tim Robbins saying Oscar winning. It was like we knew Danny De Niro wasn't going to win, so it was fine.
Nice little fun faux pas.
Tim Robbins being placed next to Kehu Kwan, hilarious. That's just good comedy.
Massive.
That's good comedy.
I will
staging.
Realize Tim Robbins is that tall.
And I know we're talking about presenters, but I will say Robert Downey's speech.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like the only one flub line part. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I've got thoughts on RDJ's speech.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. What was going on with his speech? Terrence, keep going.
Yeah, it just like it's very him.
Mm-hmm.
I like the shout out to the lawyer at the end. That was great. Just like the maybe if he had not won everything up to this, it wouldn't feel so smug.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely felt smug. Not like, oh, I'm better than my fellow nominees, but just that, like, I don't know. Man.
No, there's a way to do that because I agree with you.
Yep. Yeah. We're all three of us on the same page.
I think like there's a way to command that kind of chemistry in a room full of so many people where, like, for example, when Jamie Foxx won and he, you know, does the Ray thing, and he gets the audience to play along.
Sure.
There's something there that feels, you know, genuine and fun about that, where seeing Downey do Downey in this way, I liked the things he was saying, but how he was presenting them, yes, there's an error there that I think is a tricky line to walk, and I don't quite think he pulled it off.
Go
ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, Downey himself has been certainly this was a full Downey kind of speech, and it kind of just didn't rub me necessarily the wrong way, but it was just like, oh, this feels a little insincere at times, even though he's being very sincere. But I guess I know that he can't be insincere because he would just be an emotional wreck, which would have been nice to see. But also, this is why I think those jabs in the opening monologue to him were validated. Just like, hey, this guy here is like, you know, he's got some ego problems and some past issue problems. And here we are, just like with the speech that, you know, he was talking about how he grew up in Hollywood and how that was like a bummer kind of thing, right? He just opens off his speech kind of that way. It's like, I think that there are better ways that you can get across that you both love and hate the industry and that you love your wife and that you want to thank. I think it was a weird, I don't know if it was a dig. I maybe read it as one where he was like, you know, thanks for Christopher Nolan for like also saving my career kind of thing. And I was like, the Marvel movies were really good for you. And
he didn't say it saved his career.
He didn't say it saved his career, but
he said that he needed it more than it needed him.
Right. Yeah.
Which is like, true. You know, I mean, that's because Nolan's like, he, you know, Nolan be fine making the movie with whoever.
Right. Yeah. But if it was a dig, but more of like a slight at perhaps his past choices in the last decades, like he was great in those movies. And he was probably one of the things that really catapulted the entire MCU into what it was today. So I don't think he's necessarily saying that. But if it was like, hey, man, you know, you were great. And I think everybody acknowledges that you were great as Tony Stark in those movies as well.
Yeah, it felt very much like he was like, I was done with Marvel.
And had nowhere else to go.
And wasn't being taken seriously as an actor. Mm. And Chris Nolan saw in me that I could do this.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice sentiment.
And he was right, because I was not taking him seriously as an actor.
He's only done a couple of other things outside of those movies for the past decade. And they were bad movies. The Judge, yeah. Which, Abe, you know I hate.
I actively dislike it, too.
And Doolittle.
I forgot about that, the remake.
Yeah One of my biggest issues with actors in the MCU films is that they were probably as famous as actors could possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were not for Scarlett Johansson and Mark Ruffalo, like nothing of quality was coming.
Interesting. Yeah.
And Chadwick, who, you know, right. Before he passed, got Ma Rainey in there.
Yeah, we're going to have to unpack that in a future MCU movie or episode.
What other speeches do we want? Let's talk about the different acting speeches.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We had Robert Downey. We had Divine Joy Randolph for his best supporting actress.
She's been giving great speeches the entire awards race. This was nothing new. I actually really liked the cutaway to Paul Giamatti, who was crying during her speech. It's great.
He gave a single tear.
Yes. Yeah. Also, she kicked off the whole entire thank you, your publicist theme of the night as well.
Yeah, I'm shook that she swept the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not a bad performance. I'm just shook that she swept the season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like that she got to, that they, I like that they gave her, they didn't rush her off the stage. That's what I like.
I don't think they didn't rush really anybody up. There's like couple just because they're frankly were long, but I mean I don't think anyone was like really rushed off the stage.
Yeah.
In general. But yeah, no, everyone got a good amount of time. And the show came, you know, basically came under, like, we didn't talk about this yet, but the show's like, it's like 3 hours and 23.
Yeah.
Damn. So right between me and you, Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a runoff here.
No, you already won, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty short, quote unquote, short runtime. But I was also glad that, they didn't play anybody off.
But as far as Randolph goes, it was a good speech. I agree.
Yeah.
It was a good kind of humble and what have
you. Yeah.
Best actor, Cillian Murphy, giving his speech there after he... Mm-hmm. As Abe noted, heavily shook Ben Kingsley's hand, Sir Ben Kingsley's hand.
I need to go back and rewatch this.
You wanted to get away from that handshake as quickly as possible.
We must say Sir because Ben is the kind of guy that likes being called Sir Ben Kingsley.
Oh, is he one of those guys?
He's one of those that likes the Sir.
You must be wondering where Kate Middleton is right now.
But that's the mystery for sweeping podcast. The internet.
that's for our pop culture craves. Podcast. As far as his speech goes, pretty short speech, you know, pretty good, succinct, and I liked his ending there, you know, again claiming that he's a proud Irishman, which he is and he has said in the past, but also basically just saying like give a chance like with the peacemakers or something like that.
Support, you know, tons of support to all the peacemakers out there,
right? So Cillian for you.
It was a good, I agree, it was a good speech, and it's the kind of thing where you look at these acting ones, especially like the best leading ones, and it's like, you want to hear like the things you expect as far as the thank yous and, you know, this to me or what have you. I think there is a matter of, you have only like a few seconds to really convey some kind of like message as far as,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you want this to mean to people as far as how they regard like what you took away from all this. I don't want to pick on Rami Malek. what I'm going to. Where
did it?
Damn.
I don't remember his speech.
I remember his because he had nothing to offer. Like I have nothing against him. He seems like a perfectly fine person. It just like, but yeah, as far as he thanked all the people you're supposed to thank, but in terms mm-hmm. of what does this mean as far as to speak to, you know, being an Egyptian man, or like mm-hmm. what does it mean to Freddie Mercury? What does it mean to the gay community? Or what does it mean to people that like have HIV or AIDS? There was just not like, it seemed like there's a chance to do something and that just wasn't taken.
Mm-hmm.
Where like on the other side of it, you have Joaquin Phoenix being like talking about the milk and the cows and all this stuff. Like, so
he didn't want the applause. He told everybody to stop cheering for him.
So there's a way to walk that where I think you have a chance to say something as far as how does this resonate. And the fact that, mm-hmm. yeah, Cillian Murphy did take an opportunity to be like, look, I made a movie about the guy that created the atomic bomb.
Right.
He found a way to incorporate that in the right kind, I would say right, because hey, subjective, whatever.
Sure.
But in a way that to me made a sense that resonated. And I thought that was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My enemy Rami Malek's gonna come.
This is why he's never been on the show. I get it now. That's fine. Yeah.
Hey, I've supported him from the War at Home days on Fox.
And from Short Term 12, where he was like that dumb intern.
That's way after too. Like I've seen him, like the Night of the Museum was way before he was in mm-hmm. the he was on Short Term 12. best actress. So let's talk about this because yes. Terrence, mm-hmm. you predicted Emma Stone.
I did, and didn't predict four things anywhere else.
And you were wrong,
which was delusional.
And I didn't predict it enough. I missed that makeup call.
Uh-huh.
Thought the nose had it. But here we are. We have Emma Stone winning Best Actress.
Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, and I don't think I'm alone, it certainly seemed like there was shock that felt genuine. Not like faux shock, but like, oh, right. This is happening now. I'm curious, Terrence, what did you think of like her getting on stage and then giving her speech?
I think Emma Stone is not the type of person who, even if Emma Stone had won every award, she's not going to go up there and be like, oh, I deserve this. I won this.
Sure.
And she, her and Lily have been battling.
Right.
Right. They've essentially, they like split down the middle in the season.
Uh-huh.
And I had a feeling that she was going to win for Poor Things just because of like, I was at the CCAs and a lot of actors, when they were talking about who they thought gave a good performance, mentioned her. And it is wild that she's won two Oscars so early.
Just like Blade.
In her career.
Mahershala's older. I get it.
Well, Mahershala was an older gentleman when he started winning.
Yeah,
winning sure. Oscars. Like, yeah. how old is Emma Stone? Is like our age, right? She's like 35, 36.
She's 55.
Wow, she looks great.
She does look great for 55, but what is she actually?
I think she's only like 32 or something like that.
Yeah, that's like a Vivian
she's
Lee.
35.
That's like okay. Vivian Lee speed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or even faster than her, probably.
Yeah. There's one that you keep going.
Yeah. So it's I think she was genuinely shocked because it's just like, dang, I just want another Oscar and I'm, you know, 35.
Mm-hmm.
And having your dress break during the ceremony probably takes your mind off of the show and you're more worried about the dress. But like what I like about Emma Stone's wins, even though I don't agree with either of them,
mm-hmm.
is the range of character, the type of character.
Sure.
It's like, you know, La La Land, modern musical thing, and then like bizarro Barbie Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. So and yeah, Lily, love you girl, but I just, two women of color back to back, is that's too tall of an ask for this group of people.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by the win, not in a bad way, more just like, oh wow, I was really thinking that Lily Gladstone was going to win this. And when I heard Emma Stone, I was like, I think they said Lily Gladstone wrong, but then it did wash over me. I did have one of those like weird moments like that they were having. I was like, I think Lily Gladstone is supposed to be winning this, and then it's Emma Stone there. I did say that after watching Poor Things, like, oh, I'm quite conflicted because she's very good in Poor Things. And I like this performance more than the La La Land performance, which I didn't think was very strong. But I do agree with you, Aaron, that it did seem like a genuine shock. And it was one of those things where they seemed to be rooting for each other in the entire awards race. Especially, I think, at SAG when she was furiously clapping for Lily when Lily was announced the winner. And it just seemed her speech was totally fine. It was very like seemed like it was she was very not anxious, but just a lot of adrenaline was going through her. And she was a wardrobe, broken zipper in the back. And she was just really going off. But I don't know necessarily to the extent of what Terrence is saying of maybe undeserved, but I think that this is one of the more shocking, not maybe for me at least, one of the more shocking ones of the night, because I certainly thought that Lily was going to take this home. But not a terrible speech either. I think that the way that she ended it about her own motherhood was very sweet.
Which again, I think is key as far as the kind of like what's their, how do you add a takeaway within all of this for a character like Bella Baxter? I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me as well.
Right.
Any other like winner speeches that you want to?
Main winner speeches or just the top?
We cover
top
the actors.
Above the categories. Yeah, I thought that. Okay, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was gonna say I thought that. Jonathan Glazer's speech, very good. Controversial perhaps, but what he was saying and how he was presenting it, shaking hands, written out, but what he was saying there, again, took a lot of courage for him to say that.
He presented what he wanted to say in a manner that wasn't like too big, I guess. Sure. He wasn't Michael Moore at the Oscars, making very, very very specific statements and addressed to very specific people.
Right. Yeah.
He made, claims of, outrage over what's happened, but, for the sake of let's move on to this in a peaceful manner. Like there's something there that resonates in the right kind of way where only the most radical of pundits will have extreme opinions about the comment.
Dissenting opinion, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which they already have, but yes.
I've seen some of it, yeah.
I'm sure, yeah.
This woman just tweeted something crazy, but she used like four words of what he said.
Oh, no.
And it was like, ma'am, we all saw the rest.
Oh, I know what you're talking about then. Yes.
You can't lie about something all of us just watched.
Yeah. And also, I thought that the cut back to Sandra Hüller was really nice. I wish she was quite moved by what he was saying in that speech.
Yeah,
I don't know it, too much about Hüller I haven't seen too many of like her interviews regarding the both of the films that she was in, but I mean Zone of Interest, well, Anatomy of Fall I think is fantastic. It's mm-hmm. Terrence, your favorite film of the year, is on my top 10 list. I mean it's one where like thematically its relevance is not as obvious as what Zone of Interest is going for, and so I can mm-hmm. imagine that there's a there's something powerful about seeing the director of that film on stage, like winning and having him speak on it and what right. just based on various histories and how it connects to today. So I mean yeah, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of sense to see that emotion going on.
Yeah. The other speech, Terrence, you're gonna nominate one too.
There were like Cord Jefferson's speech.
I love
really
great speech.
I love that speech.
I loved it, especially because as we're podcasting, I'm currently going back and forth with one of my friends on Twitter about the practicalities of what he said.
Sure.
And
$10-20 million films.
I liked him doing math on stage, trying really hard.
Because I tell you, if I won an Oscar,
$20 million films. Yeah.
I have a whole degree in engineering, and I can't do math now. So, the reason I just like it as like a call to, Prime Video. This is an Amazon MGM project, I think.
Yeah.
And they debuted it at TIFF. They treated it like the awards. The main point is like, it's obviously movies don't need to be so expensive. And we see with Godzilla Minus One, we see with The Creator, that like you can get a lot of bang for your buck. We see it with Doom too, right? Mm-hmm. Like they shoot these movies in a particular way to not have these budgets be crazy. Mm-hmm. But then it's like treating every movie as if it deserves to be seen, I think is the key. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he was getting at. It's like the only thing you seem to be treating as where to be seen are these $200 million blockbusters. Then they flop and now you're have to do a tax write-off of $200 million, mm-hmm. right? Your share price goes down. It's like, well, if you invest more in these original films, maybe they'll have a better return on investment. Maybe the director will win the Oscar, you know?
Sure. And I mean,
really love that.
Credit to Amazon, MGM. I mean, they're not producing like, you know, hundreds of million dollar hits at the box office, but what they are doing is getting a consistent flow of, here's a movie, we release it in theaters, it eventually goes to Prime, and it does rather well in the short span of time. American Fiction is not a giant box office success. However, for a movie of its size, it's made over like 20 million domestic at this point. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good for a movie like that.
Yeah, where people just talk.
The Boys in the Boat with George Clooney, the director movie, a movie that I do not think is very good.
No, you had a different alternative movie poster title for it.
Yeah.
Let me
make that point. It made over 50 million in theaters alone. I can't say that I've seen people walking up and down the street talking about Boys in the Boat or like it had a huge ad campaign, but Amazon's doing and MGM are doing something right as far as how to get these kind of mid-budget, low-budget movies at a, you know, a decent rate in theaters and then take it over to the streaming services.
Sure. Yeah. It was a good call out for more mid-budget anything, dramas, comedies, or again, I like that he used the term like risk, right? So just take some risks here, be bold in your movements, and you'll never know, because again, Moonlight, as I've mentioned, he famously was like, I shot it with one camera, and I was like, this is incredible what you did with like one camera here. You know, you just never know what happens with some of these small films that can really just cause a huge snowball effect by the time the award season rolls around.
I did like when Jennifer Lame, the editor for Oppenheimer, called out that Twins was one of her favorite movies. She was collecting from Arnold and Danny DeVito.
Right.
He's like, this is so surreal. This is happening right now.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
it's pretty funny.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I hope it holds up.
It's on Netflix. It's fun.
Okay.
It does the job.
Yeah.
You mentioned it earlier, but I mean, Godzilla did win Best Visual Effects, and I was so happy.
Like, yes.
Just see that happen and to see him get on stage. And yes.
Did you see how thrilled the entire team was in the audience?
Of course.
It was great.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Like we mentioned, there wasn't a lot of push off the stage stuff going on.
Yes,
so yeah.
I appreciated
getting to see him. You know, he's not a native. He's not an English speaker really at all. Getting to see him like, you know, work his way through the speech and get out what he wanted to say. I mean, that was great. Yeah. Wonderful.
He even cut it short some parts, you know, but I appreciated that his you know, the cameras even cut to the person that they all spoke about who had passed away, one of the producers of the film. And I wasn't sure if they were going to catch that, and they did. And I was glad that they were able to, again, come across. Like, I think it would have been fine if he just spoke totally in Japanese and nobody translated, and that would have been fine too. But I'm glad that he was able to really take his time on that.
And just hearing the Godzilla theme as they're getting onto stage, I was just so thrilled.
Yes.
The music choices. Wonderful.
The music choices, with the exception of the Pirates of the Caribbean playing Christopher Nolan off for
that
some
was
reason.
Weird.
They needed that. Zimmer.
Other than
oh, Zimmer. I guess.
We couldn't. Interstellar.
Zimmer famously has no other Christopher Nolan scores to work with.
Batman would have been more appropriate.
No, they have to pay James Newton Howard.
That's right. It was co-written.
The Dark Knight?
Zimmer worked with them.
On the first two.
The third one.
On the third one, it was just
Zimmer. That was just what a wild.
Yeah.
They could have played Dune, but I think Universal would have stabbed somebody.
I agree with you. Inception or Interstellar, easy scores to like put on.
But I just like, I loved Anatomy of Fall getting to accept their Oscar.
Yeah, the BIMP score was wonderful.
BIMP for Sandra Hüller. Yeah. People make the memes out of it already about how, you know, the song is misogynistic. It was the instrumental version, though.
They put the right song on, and then Justine Triet comes up dressed like Nicole Kidman in the AMC ads.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very funny. And again, Justine Triet kind of a funny person. So this is all like in character for her. So it was great. But yeah, the other speech that I want to point out was the documentary for 20 Days in Mariupol, which is somber and serious speech about, you know, how war is bad, but also like this, he would rather trade this award for all of his countrymen and countrywomen and country children than have the award. And that was, this is a good speech.
Just right off the bat, how he said, I'm the only one that wishes I didn't have to make this movie.
Like, yeah, I heard some people gasping in the audience as if they were saying, like, oh, he didn't want the awards. Like, no, his point is bigger than that.
But it was a good, not a happy speech, but certainly, mm-hmm. a meaningful one.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, Hayao Miyazaki and Wes Anderson, they're all stars. They had great speeches.
They had tremendous speeches. Tremendous. I think that were we all happy that Wes Anderson won?
I mean, I was happy Wes Anderson won.
No, you were not happy, Terrence? Speak on it.
The reason why I was not happy is because he was not there to accept it.
Okay. Yes. He's previously been there looking dapper.
You made the movie and not to be mean.
Well, we don't know why he wasn't there as of yet.
Yes. And not to be mean and or shady. The way the shorts categories have gone over the last 5 years very much caters to the bigger names, right? You have Riz Ahmed is in your short. It's going to win, you know?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Chris Bauer is not the biggest name, but that was a 2-time nominee at that point, you know? And so,
I mean, live action had a lot. I mean, it had a David E. Yeah, short.
Yeah, but what I mean by that
short,
is like,
had a,
did he just make that short? Just a little torn about like the genesis of why.
Because he knew he was going to.
Wes Anderson, who's already made a Doll adaptation, made more Doll adaptations.
More Doll, yeah.
He was given the chance to do something that he seems to genuinely love doing. I mean,
The short film,
And he did it well.
It feels very, not because I don't think Wes Anderson is the type of person to make something to get an Oscar.
No. You're talking about Bradley Cooper.
But like, I'm like, yeah, hopefully he's working on another movie, or he was, sick and on the mend. But yeah, I was kind of like, damn, Wes, you finally get this thing. And you're not there.
Yeah. I wonder what his speech would have been, though. It would just been like pretty short, pretty standard, just getting off the stage too.
I think he's a Midwestern boy. He'd thank the people involved and get off the stage. We're merely speculating, and if he's busy, he's busy. If he's sick, he's sick. If he's in a different country because he's filming something, then he's in a different country. I think if I would wager anything on it, it's like, yeah, he made a short film, and maybe it's like, I could either take a day off from the work I'm doing to go accept an award that's not nearly as meaningful, quote unquote, compared to the other, major films that are here or what have you, and do my thing and make it seem like I'm a big deal. Or I can just keep doing my work and be fine.
Well, I don't know why it wasn't there. Yeah, I just want to note that the two people who didn't accept their awards and didn't give speeches were also two pretty cool guys. So Hayao Miyazaki and Wes Anderson, if it was 2 for 2, like batting 1,000 here, for cool guys that didn't come and get their awards. So, good company.
I don't think it's out of malice. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Well,
Hayo's maybe.
That makes sense.
But I just thought that it was cool that the two people that didn't get it were two people that I enjoy their films.
Yeah, Hayao doesn't talk about his movies to begin with. So the last thing he needs to do is get in front of a bunch of people that don't speak his language so he can explain something for
him. Right.
For
and again, he's such a grumpy cat that you probably wouldn't have cared really that much.
And the last thing is good. He's not going to send his son in his place because he fucked up.
Hell no. He gave that guy the reins to his whole entire kingdom. And he's like, no, I'm coming out of retirement to stop my son.
So let's get to it. Let's talk about these best song performances.
Okay.
And we can go in the correct order because it ends with a bang. But first up, did we have What Was I Made For? Was that the first?
Yeah,
that was the first one. Yeah.
Good old Billie Eilish. Yep.
Was it a good performance for you?
Good performance. I mean, she's a great live singer, and I dug that it was a very quiet performance, nothing flashy showy. Obviously you can't really have anything showy for that, but it was good.
What struck me was like the people in that the Academy loves Billie Eilish.
They do.
Clearly.
And I mean, I obviously she's won 2 Oscars and she's like 22, mm-hmm. but like, I mean, like she finished that performance and just, she didn't need all of what the final song needed to get like really, really great applause. And I was like, oh, they really like this girl. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, that's pretty cool to see from what can be a very boring group of people.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very whispery song, and they certainly emphasize that in the performance yep. here. It mm-hmm. reminded
the
me
perfect of, song to get me through Barbie losing costume.
it reminded me of when like Lord of the Rings would have their songs. They're always dreary, and I'm like, okay, let's do one of these.
Into the West is slightly more hopeful than the other.
Hopeful, but like every year for 3 years in a row, I'm like, okay, let's do the Lord of the Rings song now.
Yeah.
And like Return of the King happens. It's like, good. The Tripins of Belleville. Look at this fun joint that I'm listening to. This is such a great change of pace here. Okay, so we had that song. Then we had, American Symphony next? Was it, It Never Went Away? Regardless. It, okay.
I think it was a song for my people.
Yeah, it was a song for my people. From Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay. Yeah, they presented that like they tied that with the best picture montage, right? And then mm-hmm.
Immediately cut to it. Yeah,
which is about the best way to do it since it's not like a traditional song as far as a singer or what have you.
Yeah,
and no, it was nice. I mean, it's a lot of drumming and a lot of
It was good to see everybody there. It was good to see the dancers. It was good that they the really cool sun rising or the backdrop of something rising. That was really well done as well.
And they made good use of the stage for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get the John Baptiste song, right? We get it.
Yeah, it was either that or the Fire Inside. I thought John Baptiste was before the Ken one, but
John Baptiste because my dad was like that Flamin' Hot, finally a fun one of these. That's what he said after the Flamin' Hot one. And I was like, just you wait.
Yeah,
I told him, just you wait, it's coming. But yeah, never wait. John Baptiste, it's a lovely song for a documentary that was not nominated.
Right, which was one of your top 15 movies, right?
No, not my top, but it was my favorite documentary. Last year. Great.
I'll sum up my feelings about this performance by what something my and my friends tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
John Baptiste makes me appreciate John Legend.
Oh, okay. I like John Baptiste.
I like him as a musician. Saying. I was like, okay.
Aaron, you saw the documentary. Yeah. Was the montage that they were playing as he was playing the piano relevant to the documentary? It was like a bunch of people like, you know, falling in love kind of thing from movies and everything else.
No, it's not relevant to the because the documentary is about him. So I mean,
it was him and his partner. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we get to Diane Warren's Lose. I mean, The Fire Inside.
Oh. Because you look great.
So they had bunch of Cheetos kids on stage dancing around with
bunch of Cheetos kids, wearing white and red. So it's really to emphasize, you know, things are on fire. It's a more fun
performance just by nature of the song.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'd never heard that song, but it seemed pretty upbeat for the movie. So, you know,
I'd never heard that song. Things you can say to every Diane Warren nomination.
For 15-time nominee on Diane Warren.
Why doesn't she,
like I said the other day, she should attach herself to a big movie.
Why doesn't she do that?
Random documentaries or like some streaming movie. I mean, I like Flamin' Hot Fire, but it's like, it's not a huge movie. Like these mm-hmm. gonna get the momentum. I don't understand. If Nolan called in to be like, hey, we need a song about Einstein and Oppenheimer battling it out.
She's got an honorary Oscar.
She has an honorary.
Yeah. I mean,
I have an honorary Terrence. That's not that big of a deal.
You know, at this point, maybe she. Yeah, I do wish she would attach herself to a real movie.
What does honorary get you? A quick glimpse behind the scenes while people walk by your wall?
I'm just surprised. I didn't know she had the honorary. So that's why I was like, at least try and win the Oscar. But now that I know she has the honorary Academy Award, it's like, well, she doesn't have to try.
Terrence, she has 15 losses. She's clearly trying.
You know,
well, Susan Lucci had to, how long did it take Susan Lucci?
And she was 19? Trying. That's my point.
Yeah. I mean, she finally
won. How many
won
times has she nominated since? That's the better question to ask.
Probably at least twice. I don't know. But yeah, yeah. I not makes me kind of curious about how this ties into the movie, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's an inspirational joint. Right. Like, hey, we did it. We got the Cheetos made. I got
fire was inside.
Yeah. It's a, I mean, I like that movie. It's fun. It's a fun movie.
They played it at the White House.
I'm revisiting Diane Warren's losses. And I was like, I remember one of them particularly making me mad. And it was Till It Happens to You from The Hunting Ground.
Oh, who doesn't remember that one?
Yeah.
That she did with Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Which lost to Writings on the Wall from Spectre.
Yeah.
Sam Smith.
Yeah, where he had his famous, I'm the first gay man to win an Academy Award.
Which, you know, Duncan Lance Black threw a hissy fit about. And I was like, come on, man. Yeah. And then he got real messy because he was like, oh, well, you've been hitting on my husband. And I was like, okay, oh, do we need all of this?
Like, what is happening now?
You know, do we need all of this?
Here. Yeah. Till It Happens to You, very powerful song, especially when they cut back to the audience and everyone was like in tears.
What a category for this year. Writings on the Wall earned it from 50 Shades.
Love.
Manta Ray from Racing Extinction, a movie we definitely know what that is. Simple Song Number 3 from Youth, which I know, but it's like, isn't it? Okay. Until It Happens to You from Hunting Ground. That's a okay.
That was a tough.
Yeah, the Bond movie's probably going to win that one, guys. I think that's
That Adele winning was sort of shocking because Bond songs had never won that category.
Well, that was such a powerhouse hit that year too. Like, but you're not wrong. I mean, that was a huge hit when it came out. So it's like,
this was like, okay, Bond songs. Now they have acknowledged Bond songs as being
each time they've given come out since
yes.
songs. Okay, so so the last performance, of course, I'm Just Ken.
Perfection.
This is the highlight of the evening, right?
And fucking incredible. And fucking incredible.
It was such a fun performance. Gosling totally like both in on it, belting out the music, and like trying
the microphone
to contain
was
himself,
on
trying to contain himself,
you like, can see him like laughing as they were holding him up.
You could see him acknowledging how ridiculous this whole thing was, like, which made it better. It made
but
that
like what we said earlier
better.
With John Cena, commitment to the bit, and that's what made it great. Because what does he also do? He goes into the crowd, and then the Margot, Greta, and America are singing with him. And then he goes to fucking La La Land co-star Emma Stone, and she starts singing with him. It's great. It was great.
The bit that got me, because there's a lot going on, is when the rock portion of the song starts, and he at one point he turns to the side and like punches through a cardboard piece of wood. that made me laugh a lot. It's like, okay, so we're just all in. And then surprise, surprise, the rest of the male Kens came on stage and joined the dancing, which was wonderful.
Yeah,
it was really
exactly.
Fun.
It was
spectacular. Great to see them. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Yeah, very heavily inspired there.
With the costume design,
I loved that they kept Barbie, because I know how a lot of people feel about I'm Just Ken, right? They're like, oh, the song about the man got nominated. And I'm like, well, yes, because it was great. But I like how they had, like, when he got lifted up and they had, like, the old school Barbie
heads,
the cutouts. And then, like, Greta Gerwig and America and Margot get to sing, and Emma, you know, crazy stupid love throwback, and Gangster Squad, but we don't talk about that movie.
You want to take her to bed.
I don't talk about two of those movies, so that's me.
You don't like Crazy Stupid Love?
Not a fan. It's got its moments.
I haven't seen it in a while.
This is making me literally reconsider our friendship, because what in the world?
I think there's like what, four subplots going to intertwine with each other. I like two of them.
50%.
Wow. This is what, and you see what happens when you listen to this elitist film criticism right here. You don't like popular movies.
I see what you're saying, Terrence.
But yeah, I liked anytime I talked a lot about this with them when I mentioned the Archies, that movie that I watched. And it's like, oh yeah, like the actors in Hollywood do also have other talents, like Ryan Gosling, noted Mickey Mouse Club
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he was in La La Land, so he's done a musical, but it's like,
and he's Lewis a great made, shoes for everybody in the crowd tonight. So
he's a great showman. He can sing.
Yeah.
Great to have all the other Kens up there because they can also sing.
Yes.
And dance. And yeah, it was perfection.
It was a really good, he had a great night overall. Like if you're giving scorecards to people individually, he had a great night overall. I think he brought his sister with him to the Oscars, which he's traditionally done, or his mother. And then B, he has like the bit with
Emily Blunt,
future co-star. Yeah. Emily Blunt in their new David Leitch movie, where he's just talking about jokey stuff.
They're trading off Barbenheimer jazz.
Yep. So, can we slightly address something?
Sure.
We went very, very positive.
Okay.
Having a whole montage about this. Stunts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To then not announce
anything
that you're creating a stunt. I cannot believe that they did that.
Yeah, it was dumb.
It was a great stunt montage. I
liked it. Yeah, I liked it. And then it was like, okay, he's like, to all the stunt people, you're great. And I'm like,
thanks.
And that's why we're creating a category, right?
That doesn't bring my pinky back that I blew off on the set of Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah, like that. That was a really, really strange misstep, I think, in the show.
Earlier, like Kimmel had announced, like, by the way, we got a casting award coming soon. And then it's like, and now here's a stunt montage eventually. It's like, all right, thanks, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it had been something that people have been wanting for a while. And then again, they had like their own stunt awards like a decade ago. And it was it would have been great to announce that, because I think even David Leitch was saying that, oh, there's gonna be something special on the Academy Awards tonight. And I guess it was just a montage. So
the stars of a movie whose trailer you're not going to show are here to talk about stunts.
Yeah. So, but yeah, overall, Gosling A+, because the costume change, fucking starting out wearing a hat, a cowboy hat, and you know, being in his feelings. Fantastic. You know? So yeah, it was Gosling had a really good night. And again, that song, like you guys all said it, really singing. So good on him.
Yes.
There's videos online of people that are in the audience too, like, you know, recording that performance. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, it's happening, and people in the audience are having a blast doing it. Like, that's why it's so fun, because like the whole crowd was just excited by it.
Yeah,
like in the right kind of way, and for a song that was nominated. It's not like you don't talk about Bruno being like, let's take up 10 minutes with this.
Oh my god,
this song that's not nominated. Let's have some fun on the dance floor.
That made me so mad.
Speaking of somewhere on the dance floor and Barbie, you open up the Academy Awards with the Dua Lipa song instrumental, and then it's not nominated. So,
well, that's just playing a song to,
yeah, I know,
to open up the ceremony. There's a difference between that and having Justin Timberlake do a whole set for the troll song to come out to introduce the Oscars.
Yeah,
that's just, you got to play some music. He's not going to walk on stage with nothing. Speaking of which, I mean, hosting duties. Yeah, obviously, I mentioned the monologue, which is whatever. And then, you know, he has his stuff throughout, which is, it's not very intrusive at that point, beyond like the John Cena thing, which worked. So I can't
be too upset. Yeah, it led into John Cena was the presenter for that category too, which helps out. You know, it wasn't a wasted bit and then like cutting to the other side of the stage.
I was waiting to see Matt Damon. I was surprised he didn't appear.
Me too. Affleck boy.
Well, I have to, like, go here or there, but like Damon and Kibble, I mean, that's their deal. Like, I was waiting to see, and he's in Oppenheimer. You know,
that's Aaron true.
Wasn't nominated for anything, but Oppenheimer.
He got shouted out by the director.
So I was curious, was he even there? I didn't see him. He might just not have been there to begin with for whatever reason, which is, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Which is why there might not have been a Matt Damon bit, but I was just curious, like, oh, Jim Kibble's here. He's not making fun of Matt Damon in any way. Host wise, we mentioned Mulaney as far as a potential host in the future, which would be great. They showed that David Alan Greer, Dag himself, is just there announcing the whole time. Like, make Dag the host. I'd love to see that.
Bearded David Alan Greer.
He'd clean up.
No, leave the beard. Yeah. I like it.
Either way, do whatever you want to do. I was just like, Dag could host the show. He's a great fun guy.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling was my number two.
Oh, okay.
To host?
Yeah. the showmanship.
Oh, for sure. I can see that.
The like Canadian trying to downplay everythingness.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see, what else?
I only have one thing for you guys left.
Uh-huh.
Unless you have something else.
Go for it.
Best picture, you get Al Pacino to a standing ovation.
Oh, so yeah, let's talk about Pacino.
Comes out fucking unloosened tie, for one. So we talked about that.
He that's not new for him.
I know, that's like his norm these days.
Even when he was younger, he's always been like,
he's been a cool guy.
A different premise. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I just dug that. It was like, yeah, that's totally Pacino. Comes out. He's got a few things to say. He says them. He clearly has a card telling him to say something else. Just fucking disregards it. I guess I'm supposed to open this up now. Oppenheimer. It's like, oh, okay. They even delay playing the music for like a moment just to be like, is there anything else you want to say, Al?
They couldn't match his speed. Like, yeah. I think his card was just like, you know, just to give him a heads up.
Like, I think it was just like actually his speech, just in case he didn't want to read the prompter.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Well, because they weren't, because if they were going to do like the nominations, they would have done them.
They would have. I'm on the same page. I have no problem because they already showed all 10 montages.
But that said, I think it's still nice to hear the nominees again. Sure. I think that would have, you know, I don't think we're wasting too much time by listing off the nominated films.
We knew what was going to win.
you can't go on that logic for the massive audience that's watching the Oscars. I think it's nice to like hear
they knew what was going to win too.
Fine. Regardless, I do think the mix of not doing that, meaning that Al Pacino was the elderly Al Pacino was on his own to really send this thing off. It's like that's not the thing that he's doing. Like, you need to guide him.
Well, when Jimmy first started, I was like, oh, it's going to be Francis Ford.
I thought it was Coppola. Yeah, the way he was introduced, I thought it was going to be Coppola.
No, he's too busy finishing his movie.
He said Al Pacino, and I was like, and Francis Ford Coppola, but that never came.
I will say, you know, again, that Godfather theme always hits me every time, and it hit me again tonight. So,
yeah.
That theme is, like, immortal.
They played it for Spielberg for Schindler's List, and like, you can see his reactions like, all right, not the happiest theme I could walk out to, but fine.
Yeah. Also, what a moment, you know, for Spielberg, a Hollywood legend, to present you, Nolan, an Oscar. Great setup there, guys, for the producer of the show.
I was going to say this, if we talk about hosts, Spielberg's got some comedy chops, guys.
He does.
There's a world where
are those Kate McKinnon letter or photos going, Aaron?
Where he's not busy and he's like, you know what? Why not? Let me host the Oscars. I'd go along with this.
I think he and Kate Capshaw would do a great job. The other thing also, it was a funny joke about, you know, not you two America, and then calling Steven Spielberg Dr. Spielberg. Pretty small, a good bit from Kate McKinnon.
Their stuff was fun with her and America Ferrera, right?
Yeah.
But did you guys like, was it Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer, who seemed to be on there for like 20 minutes?
Not as much.
I like their energy together.
Yeah.
And I was like, I understand this bit.
Uh huh. They were there
but
for
no.
a while. They're
but
there
no.
For, they seemed like they were there for a long time.
Yeah, I didn't think it worked overall. So,
they've done, I know, one movie together, which is on like Prime or Netflix, right? I'm trying to like
Netflix.
Do they have like other movies I'm not thinking of?
No, they've just been
friends, I guess.
Friends for a long, long time.
Fair enough.
And I think I'm tired of have the actors be up there flailing and then be like, oh, that's because there was no script written.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm. just give them something fun to say, please.
Sure. Yeah. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Obviously, for the people that can riff, it works out a lot better. Like, I don't know if that Issa Rae, Rami Malek, Rami Youssef thing was like...
Wow.
I know, sorry.
You're mixing up Middle Eastern people. Wow.
The teeth are in my brain right now.
Hashtag canceled.
The teeth are in my brain. No,
Egyptian, no less.
But Youssef, they kind of were like, let's just truncate this, because we need to get to like the actual word, so they just named the...
That was pretty funny. I like that one.
It was the follow-up where he's like, hey, we knew you could make him long. It's like, come on, Robbie.
No, but I'm saying, like, it works for people who can riff. And so, again, he's a professional comedian, you know, and it works out. But for some of the other ones, like, I hate it when they have scripted for an actor who is not funny say these things and try to be funny just doesn't really work out. So
yeah, I mean, I fortunately, like, that's pretty minimal at this point, which is good because yes, it is awkward.
But also McCarthy, also a very funny person.
So it's Octavia Spencer. Have you seen
Ma?
Have you seen the Ma? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's actually pretty funny too.
All right. Any other thoughts on the?
I'm looking through my notes here. Nick Cage lazy eye joke was good.
That was Nick Cage is on ball.
Yep. I like basically saying like, could I do that? Yes, I could.
But, he's like, would you do that? Hell yeah.
But it was good to see him there, and because I saw him in the audience, I'm like, oh, Nick Cage is here, and then he comes on stage for best supporting actor.
That's how I felt about Kingsley. It's like, why is Kingsley here? Why is he so close?
Yeah,
that's what I kept wondering.
Yeah,
I saw obviously there's a lot of people there, but it's like I saw like Keith David behind the American Fiction
crowd. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did see him there too, standing up applauding Cord Jefferson.
Yeah,
I forgot he was in that. I've been watching Has Been Hotel, so I'm very in Keith David mode, but like I was definitely like, why is Keith David at the Oscars? So I was like, oh yeah, he was in American Fiction.
Yeah,
arguably the second funniest scene too. So
what is Has Been Hotel? What do I not know?
Amazon Prime animated show, animated musical, adult comedy about the daughter of Lucifer Morningstar trying to run a hotel to help,
obviously, okay,
save souls in hell.
And Keith David's always in it.
He plays one of the characters. He's a bartender.
All right, good enough.
I mean, that seems like a good fine role.
Hey, it's Keith David.
Yeah. Last thing I'll mention is, as we finished a lot of my notes here, is they did it. They showed me some writing on the screen. I would have liked more writing in terms of best original screenplay and best adapted screenplay. I would have liked more of it with stage direction. But they had some there, and that was fun to read. As small as it was,
they did the category, the technical stuff pretty well, I would say. Something my lovely girlfriend, the lovely Anna Bush, pointed out, like that one year, like 2015, they had a really cool way to do like the sound and sound mixing presentations where they're just like really emphasizing like what those effects are in different moments. It was really well done. Here they kind of did it too. They had like a soundscape for the sound nominees. They had the writing for the screenplay nominees. They had the visual effects doing like the, within the same scene, like showing the different progressions of the effects or what have you.
Yeah.
So like, I like when they do that. I think we all like when they do that. Like, could they have done that like even more for sure? Like, with like cinematography or costumes or whatever, you can really delve into it, which they have done in the past. I would completely like to see more of that. But
yeah, I'd love to see that stuff.
There was some effort. So it's, it's not all for naught.
Right. Yeah. And again, with the runtime, like, oh, this is great. You guys were able to accomplish some of it. So give me some montages. Sorry, the last thing was when Sam Rockwell was like, oh, Danny, he's great for playing, Louis Strauss. And loudly in my own home, I said Straws. So, because that's also, he could also correct people in the movie. He's like, it's pronounced Straws.
So we talk about like our overall thoughts on the on the awards. I obviously, like, if I was looking at like my favorite like award win of the night, Godzilla's where my head's at. Did you guys have like a favorite like win that you're just like super happy to see?
Honestly, it was Born the Heron. I was not expecting it to win, and so when it did win, I was like, yes, this movie about Miyazaki's personal life and him putting it on the screen. Like, I wrote to my friend, who was texting me. You know how the Hollywood Reporter has like those anonymous folks submitting stuff
the ballots,
in,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
I hate.
Yeah, I hate that too, because it's unfair for some of these people, but also it kind of just makes you hate the Academy sometimes. But I wrote, fuck that anonymous voter, because this person had said, I didn't get The Boy and the Heron. And then I wrote back to her, this is like a few days ago, and I wrote back to her a very lengthy thing, like, I don't have that much time to get into it right now, but this movie is a hugely important to Hayao Miyazaki, because all these things represent this, this, and this, and like, this is all this thing that he would never really go into. And so I was like, this is a masterpiece of his work, of his life. And so I was really enthused when it won. And I'm, cool as he is, he just didn't show up to get the award. So
what happened when somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, sir, this is a Wendy's?
I was like, I guess I'll just have your spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I didn't care for Boy and the Heron, but it's, I don't begrudge it. It's win.
Were you the anonymous voter?
No, I mean, I got what the movie was trying to say. I just didn't like it very much.
Sure.
But yeah, I hate the anonymous ballots. I think the industry that has popped up around doing those for every award show is like, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's doing more harm than good now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just never forget. This is a different award show, but I'll just never forget hearing or people posting the screenshots of like the Grammy voter who said, like, was mad that he was meant to pay attention to Beyonce and or vote for her because she's so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, like, and the reason why I don't like these ballots is like, you're competing with these people. Obviously, people have their favorites or whatever, but like, you're an artist in the industry. You're very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, the world is going to stop for the Beyoncés. It's going to stop for Taylor Swift. It's going to stop for, you know, probably Drake's, right? And so I don't like that enough, because like saying, oh, I'd going on record anonymously mm-hmm. and saying that you didn't get the Boy and the Heron does not fill me with confidence for the voters in the Academy.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's good for the institution. I'd say Godzilla Minus One was the one that I cheered for.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, that would just be so cool. And the visual effects were great. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems VFX, maybe Golden Compass Transformers broke them. Because most of the really cool wins have come in VFX.
Oh, interesting.
But and this is now the second movie that is budgeted in this price point that has won, like Ex Machina winning will just be like, that's for us, one of my favorite Oscar wins of all time. Yeah. And this one is right up there with that.
Sure.
Ex Machina is such a neat win, because it like beats like what, Star Wars and some other like big thing too. And that was a genuine surprise. Like, wow, the A24 movie beats Star Wars at the Oscars for best visual effects.
Yeah, because you know, we looked with our eyes,
right?
And we saw which one, you know. Like I said, I think the in my personal Oscar ballot, the creator got the win over Godzilla.
Sure.
But I also nominated Godzilla in 11 categories, so. You know, I'm doing way better than the Academy. But yeah, like both of those, I think, like I said, represent a really either of those winning would have made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered something I wanted to point it out because I'm curious what you guys think. Hoyte van Hoytema, who won for best cinematography, his first win after a couple nominations. He made a point like right away in the speech saying that he's discovered celluloid and it's easier than people think and what have you, which is basically him digging at digital filmmaking, I would
right.
say. Did you appreciate him saying something like that? Or is that, granted, he knows all those cinematographers. It's not like he's speaking, I think, out of turn or against anyone, but he certainly had a point he was making.
I think that's exactly, you nailed it, which is he knows what he's talking about. So I didn't take it the wrong way because he probably has shot with both, you know. Sure. He probably just prefers film, actual film stock. And it does, he's right. It does give you a different look. Even if you were to shoot photography, it gives you a different look. Right. But, I thought it was fine. I also just dug his shoes.
I certainly noticed them.
Like, yeah.
Like the All-Stars.
As somebody who has shot on both film and digital, I wish more people got to shoot on film just for like the experience of it and the look of it. It just, you know, not everybody is Christopher Nolan.
Sure.
You know, getting IMAX to make new stock, right? So it's like, but it is cool when, you know, as we see more digital stuff that like Hoyt can, you know, win this award in the way the medium was invented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with some new tricks here or there. So yeah, I didn't mind it.
As we wrap up, the last thing I want to point out, because we didn't point out earlier, and to end on something on a high note, Slash was on stage too at that Ken performance. I forgot to talk
sure
about
was.
That.
Sure was.
Such
yeah,
a, like,
was.
Everything was happening. That
guitar
was fun
solo.
There.
Yeah.
It just did the job. That whole performance. Like everybody was having a great time.
Yeah.
And overall, I like to think that we all had a good time with the Oscars. You know, regardless of which things were and weren't happening on our ballots or what have you, I do think the ceremony. even with my like little small gripes on like some of the monologue stuff, it's like, no, it was a good ceremony. It's the kind of ceremony like you want to see, where people seem to be having a genuinely good time. The, you know, the winners seem to be happy that they're winning. Like, it is like it had a certain kind of energy that felt very positive at a time when you know, things don't always work that way. So
yeah, certainly the positive part. And again, I think that they were just more serious about this being a serious award show. And they take this is if this is the most prestigious award that you could win in film, then it showed, you know. And I'm glad, because obviously, like, you have bits here and there, but I'm glad that they didn't go overboard with the bits, as we talked about in the previous episode.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that should wrap up our results recap here of the 96th Academy Awards. So, with all that in mind, Terrence Johnson, where can people find more of your work online?
Find me at lenoirtour.net and on Twitter at Terrence B. Johnson.
Abe?
You find me over at my Instagram, abe.mua, and twitter.com/walrusmoose. Hashtag we did it.
Everything I do can be found at my Substack, thecodeofzeke.substack.com. I write reviews for Leave Entertainment, movie Blu-ray reviews for Life's So Blue, and I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4. This podcast can be found anywhere you can find podcasts. You can find out there and Abe. Find us and enjoy all our very antics. Our upcoming show this week is Kung Fu Panda 4, so stay tuned for that. And yeah, that's good. Thank you, Terrence, once again for joining us.
Thank you, Terrence.
Thank you for having me.
And that's going to do it for this bonus Hollywood's Biggest Nights result recap show. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye. I'm just kidding. I'm